Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Aleph, the final daf in this beautiful perek, HaMoicher Es HaSfina. And we're holding the top line on Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan. Ein mistakrim be'eretz Yisrael bedvorim sheish ben chayi nefesh, kegoin yenois shmanim uslosois. One has to be careful not to cause people, consumers in Eretz Yisrael, who need dvorim sheish ben chayi nefesh, in other words, things which are absolute necessities, like wine, like shemen, and solace, and flour. Make sure not to be mistaker. Now, what means not to be mistaker? One shouldn't go and earn a profit in distributing and selling these items in the marketplace. So Rishbam says that what we're talking about is don't have unnecessary middlemen to go and just jack up the price by adding on another layer of price.
Sounds like price controls.
Well, to a certain extent. What it means is that don't have unnecessary people that just add another layer of price. If you look at the top, Rishbam, second line, Ein Mistakin.
Have efficient markets.
Ein Mistakin, second line of the Rishbam. Ein Mistakin, Liknois Yain, Veshemen, Uslosis, Milbalabayas, Limkor, Veshuk, Ela Balabayas, Atzmoy, Yimkor, Litzrichen. Instead of having the original Balabas, meaning, for instance, the farmer, who produced the yain, the shem, the silas, then somebody says, you know what, instead of you going to the marketplace, give it to me, I'll give you a profit, and then he goes to the marketplace, we have a middleman who obviously adds a layer of profit for himself. So don't do that. Rather have the balabos himself, yimkor l'tzrichin, kemoishi yimkor l'chamini, umiyo liknois chitim, v'laseis pas mutter. However, if the middleman is actually adding to the product, how? By taking the original flour of the marshal and making it into pasta, and he's the baker, and that's okay. Kimin de ikka tercha shori. If he's putting tercha in, he deserves to get paid for his work, for his time and trouble. Avalimkar adover be'en, kamoisha koina oisim balabais. Just to go and take the fruits, the vegetables, the produce from the balabas, and then take it to the market, and then add on your own layer of profit. Also, the balabai is not even motzim mazman leblei terech. Let the balabas do it himself. So therefore, this is a little bit difficult for us to really relate to, because after all, we don't live next to farms, at least most of us don't. And so therefore, we need these middlemen to go and take it from the farmer, to process it, and to bring it to market. In the good old days, we're presumably talking about small towns and villages, and even small cities, where agriculture was the mode of making money.
Of
commerce, thank you. And so therefore, people live close to those farms. So why should you have the farmer go and say, okay, middleman, you buy the whole stuff, give me my 3%, 5%, 10% markup, and then he adds his own markup, and as far as the consumers are concerned, they're losing out money because they have to deal with two markups instead of just one. Let the balabas himself bring it to the marketplace. However, nowadays, of course, that would be much more difficult since you have to have the middlemen transported from the farms to the cities to be sold. Yes, Shlomo, you have a question.
We happen to be going through that process right now. The price of oil has just gone through the roof in the last 6 months in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there, most of the people are buying a lot of imported from Spain, even Turkey. And there was one incident, supposedly Turkey was sending in, there wasn't even olive oil. There's a big scandal about one particular product. But the price has gone up quite dramatically in the last year. They say some of the production is way down. The trees have been affected. I don't know exactly, but also the war obviously has an effect on it too, but everything's going up.
We should hear
olive oil and particularly has been very hard hit.
Gotcha. We should hear Psuras Tovus and Eretz Yisrael, both from the security perspective and the financial perspective, as well as throughout the world.
Consolation, there was a big problem of olive oil here, at least in the New York region also.
Yeah, a lot of these sellers are very greasy, so you got to be careful.
The Corleone family, the Genco olive oil company.
Anyway, so this was the Bryce. Omo lever blows ben Azariah show you mistake behind the shemen. He did not take heed vis-a-vis the yain b'shemen. He did, in fact, he was either he himself or he allowed others to be middlemen in between. V'yayin v'shem. Why? V'yayin sovelok Rabbi Yehuda, referring to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira on the bottom, two lines from the bottom of the Yemen that we learned yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, export as much wine as possible, neshemayit es hatifla, people that drink too much wine become inebriated and they say things that they're not supposed to. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, having the wine be a little bit more expensive and out of the reach a lot of people, that's a bracha. That's wonderful. Mark up the wine, another markup, so that some people won't buy it. B'shaman b'yasid rabbelozer ben azariah shchiach mishcha. The reason why he allowed for middlemen vis-a-vis the shaman, because Baruch Hashem, there was such a huge supply of shaman in that town, in that area, so you don't have to worry about someone adding on and marking up the price even more. Then I won't go to him, I'll go across the street to somebody else. Baruch Hashem, there's such a rachvis in town, plenty of competitors, I don't have to worry about his jacking up the price. Till now we spoke about things which are yesh ben chai nefesh, which are absolute necessities. Now we're going to talk about things which are kind of semi-necessities, semi-luxuries. When it comes to eggs, don't go and mark it up so that you earn twice the amount that it normally should go and cost. So Rishbam already points out that yesterday we said that you shouldn't mark up the prices more than 6%, not 6%.
One sixth.
Thank you, everybody, for that, which is 16 2/3%. Don't do it more than a sixth. However, that's by chai nefesh, things which are absolute essentials. People can't live without that. But you can live without eggs. I guess it's not before Pesach. I can live without Pesach without eggs. But anyway, the point is, eggs is considered to be a luxury, and that therefore you can take more than the shtus, but don't go and increase the price more than twice the original cost to the merchant that is selling it. Now, what means twice? Omer Pamay. Omer Mori Bar Mori, an interesting name. Mori Bar Mori, Pligi Bar Rabbi Shmuel Chad Omer Al Chatrei, meaning that if he paid Lemushel for a dozen eggs, a dollar, don't sell it for $2. So $1.99, but not, don't get to the $2. Don't be mistaken, Pamay. Chadomer Tagra Latagra. That means don't allow for multiple middlemen. One middleman between the chicken farmers that are producing the eggs and the customers, yeah, you can have somebody in the middle. But don't go and put in two levels, because two levels will just increase the price. So the Pamay means either double the price or double the merchants in between that will cause it to be more expensive. Rishbam says that the reason why we allow for more than a shtus but less than double is because, number one, it's not an absolute essential, it's not chai nefesh. And number two, says Rishbam, tirach meruba. There's a lot of tircha when you're dealing with eggs. Obviously, with eggs, you have to be careful. They shouldn't break, and they're very fragile, and it's a big headache. So you're allowed to go and take more than the six that we spoke about.
Is wine considered chai nefesh?
Yes. That you see them the second line. Now you and I might not look on wine as being chai nefesh, but remember the good old days, they didn't have Polish or spring water, and they didn't have seltzers and things like we have today. So wine was a basic drink. Now here's the other way around. It's talking about a town where most of the townspeople engaged in a particular profession, and unfortunately that profession started going all the way down in price. Deflation. As if you go to 47th Street and all the diamonds and take a hit and they all go down 10, 20, 30, 40% in price, then all the people are very nervous. We're not going to make any money and the whole profit margin is lost, etc., etc. So you're allowed to be masriya. Masriya means to go and be mespalel on this issue, even b'Shabbos. Get together after davening and start saying tillim about this issue, even on Shabbos.
Masriya is lashon shrua.
Look at Rishbam. Masriyan. She almost
had it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, chigoyin klei pishtan bebavel v'yayin v'shemen be'eretz Yisrael. Said, let me give you an example. Here in Bavel, apparently the vast majority, or very, very large percentage of the population, had their parnasa in manufacturing and knitting and sewing together a linen garment, as well as the Yayin v'shemen be'eretz Yisrael. That was also the major parnasa. So if everything goes all the way down, means people, the Chas V'Sholem, are going to be turned from rich to poverty in a second. So Rabbi Yosef, who dissolved, become Asara B'Shita. But it's got to be, you're talking about a 40% reduction. So Rishbam gives an example, like we just spoke about garments, going to play Pishtan, that you used to be able to get 10 garments for one price, and now you can go and get it for, instead of for 10, it went down to 6. Or the price for 10 garments went down to 6 garments. see if you look at the Rishbam. Behu Dizal. It's about 10 lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. Behu Dizal Kol Kach Dekim Asorah Begodim Bidmei Shita. What you would normally pay for 10 Begodim has gone all the way down to 6. Shehuzlu Karev Lemachza. It's almost cutting into the price, almost 50%. This is very, very dangerous in terms of the financial well-being of the community. So even on Shabbos, you're allowed to get together and be mispiled. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should send Shefa Brocha Vatzlocha to the oil.
We have a deflation that you can go all the way to a recession and then depression.
Mm-hmm. So that happened during the Great Depression with farm products. The government had to step in and make the Agricultural Adjustment Act to make...
Exactly.
Make it the farmers could.
Yeah.
So now, if you are concerned, why don't we say with the all the aniyim should celebrate Baruch Hashem that things have gone down dramatically in price? Says Rishbam. For instance, if you're talking about begodim toivim, about the pishton in Bavel, he said these are begodim toivim. The ein kan hefsed laniyim im yoykiru. The average oni didn't go buy such fancy linen garments. So the fact that it went down in price, this was no cause for celebration. However, for the people that were in the business of manufacturing and producing these clay pishtan, that was a tremendous concern of deflation and chas v'shalom, as you say, potential recession, etc. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Once you have immigrated and you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to leave it. Elam kein umdu sasayim v'salah. Unless prices have gone up dramatically, and now it's very difficult to make ends meet, to the point that two sa'a of chitim cost a sa'a. Now, what is the normal price of chitim in the market? Our Gemara doesn't tell us, but the Rishash tells us, don't you remember from Daf Tes? On Daf Tes, we already said what the price is. And if you take a quick look over there in Daf Tes, you'll see
where
in
the
Daf Tes,
you don't have
in your Gemara, you're not going to find it. But I'll just read it to you. Okay. You don't have to. It's no... Don't need to get into it too heavily. It says in the first line of the wide lines in Tes Amid Aleph that if you have an oni who's over mimakom amakoyim, then the panesim, the gaboyim, gaboy tzedakah, have to supply him a kikar bepunjoin, which is based on a price of arba so'in besala. Ah, so the prices that time were 4 so'a for 1 so'a. In other words, think of a so'a being 25 cents. Actually a dinner, so 4 sa'in for 1 sa'a, 1 sa'a you could buy 4 sa'a. Here in our Gemara, we're talking about that the prices went up double, that you can only get sa'in this one. Instead of getting 4, you're only getting 2 per sa'a. Oh, yeah, yeah, how can you live with that type of condition? So therefore, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael under those circumstances. Reb Shimon, Amos Reb Shimon disagrees, Reb Shimon Yechoy, is manchen and moitze likach, that's only if there is, in fact, a shortage in the marketplace that you can't get the essential goods. However, if you can find things in the marketplace, even if it went really crazy, instead of 4 for a seller, 2 for a seller, 1 for a seller, can you imagine, wow, what inflation? Lo yetze, stay in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will save you. And the Gemara, in fact, tells us, come on in, come on in. That Elimelech machloin bechilyon gedoli hador hoyu. I think he's just saying coffee, so don't put too much pressure.
You going to join us?
I told you. Elimelech machloin bechilyon gedoli hador hoyu parnesi hador hoyu. We're talking about, of course, the beginning of the Sefer of Rus, where it tells us about Elimelech and his two sons machloin bechilyon. They were great, great gedolim and parnesi hador hoyu, meaning that they were great. They're very wealthy individuals. And eventually they all, as you know, at the beginning of the Sefer Rus, they all passed away. And then Naomi took the two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Rus. Why, Nebuch, were these three, Nebuchadnezzar, why were they punished? Because they left Eretz Yisrael, and they went to Chutzlar. Like it says in the Pasuk, when people saw them, they were all astonished. In the today's millennium, you would say, amazing. They were amazed and they were astonished. I'm sorry?
Hazen Naomi, right.
But Tigmarna, and they said, Hazois Naomi, is this Hazois Naomi? So, Fatima, what's the question? My Hazois Naomi? Amrav Yitzchak, Amrav, Chazisim Naomi. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Amrav Chazisim Naomi, did you see Naomi? She yotzis me, Oretz, Chutz Laoretz. Ma Otzala, Nebuch, she left from Eretz, she went to Chutz Laoretz. And what happened to her? Oy, 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 va, voy. So the question is, what's the Hemshech Advarim over here. We're saying we're starting off Umneima Nenchu, Neshiotsmi, Arth the Chutzlars. They left Eretz Yisrael, they went to Chutzlars. Shenemar Vatayim Kol Ir Aleim. Doesn't say anything about leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Chutzlars, that they were punished. It says that they were astonished to see Naomi in this form. So in fact, some of them, unfortunately, like the Marsha says, that the word Shenemar is unnecessary, and rather, after the words when they shiotsim the arts of chutzlar, it's put a period, and now the Gemara is saying, oh, you started talking about El Melech Machum Mechili, and I'll tell you a drasha. It says in the Pasuk, Batayim Kalir Alein, Batayim Azayis Naomi, Mayazayis Naomi, shiotsim the arts of chutzlar. However, the Rishash brings at Tosefta, and he says that perhaps those words of Tosefta should have been included in the Gemara, and they fell out somehow or other, that what the Gemara is telling us is, what's the reason why Elimelech Machlen Bechion left Eretz Yisrael? Because there was a famine. And as a result of that famine, they figured they wouldn't have any food in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to go to Chutzlart. The Pshim Bar Yehoi said, no, no, you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, even if the prices have gone up dramatically. Hashem is going to save you. Have bitochen Hashem. So what the Pasuk is telling us is, Vateyan Kol Ha'ir, all the people that stayed behind in Eretz Yisrael and did not leave Eretz Yisrael, they all continued to live. And that's why it says at Yim, Kol Ha'ir, everybody lived and everybody was still Baruch Hashem. Who were the ones that perished? The ones that left Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they would have been better off staying locally instead of trying to move out to better their lives. They would have been better off staying behind. And when it says, Hazois Naomi, the Barashah says that Hayin Ches Am Mischalif, therefore you should look upon it that Chazois Naomi, look at Naomi, Amr Chazisim Naomi, that's the Lashon of Chazisim. Did you see Naomi? That she is now returning from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlar, it's my old Zillah, she lost all of her family, meaning all the menfolk, that was her Shver and her husband and the Shvugah, that all three of them never passed away, saying she is left together with, I'm thinking of Ruth.
Yeah.
Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Thank you, appreciate it. So she was the one that lost all of them, and therefore that's the connection. They were punished. She is Nebuch and Almana, lost all her family members. The Yom Rav Yitzchak, because we got into this, now we're going to have a fair amount of Agadata related to Ruth, as well as we'll branch off into other things as well. So Omer Yitzchak, Omru, Aschalis, okay, mind there, Omer, we have said that. The Omer Yitzchak, Oysa Yam Shabbos, Ruach HaMayviyah, Rus HaMayviyah, Eretz Yisrael, the day that she came to Eretz Yisrael, Meisa Ishti Shal Boyaz, Boyaz's wife passed away that day. I know the Amri Imchi, that's why there's an expression. Ad Leshachav Shivchua, Kaima Monu Baisei. This is an expression, says Rajbam, Ad Leshachav Shivchua, before a person passes away, there is already a replacement to take over for that individual. Says Rishbam, what does that mean in our case? What it means is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Maktim Refua Koidim Lamaka. Boaz thought, oi, what a terrible day, Nebuchadnezzar lost his wife. And of course, that was a terrible day. However, Kodesh Baruch Hu had already put a replacement in place, being Ruz, because eventually, as we know, Boaz married Ruz.
Is that also a reason why Gittin's before Kedushin?
In the Seder of,
in the Seder of
Bavli.
Yeah, the Refua before the...
Yeah.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
Did you get the joke? Okay, continuing on. Zok Timor Baita. Omer Rav Abba Rav Huna. Omer Rav. Ifzon Zeh Boyaz. Ifzon was one of the Shoftim in the Sefer Shoftim in Tanakh. And he is the same person, Boyaz. In other words, he had two names. Maika Mashlon. So why is Rabbi Bar Avuna telling us this? Says Rishbam, we don't learn any Dover Musar, no Dover Chassidus, no Mitzvah. Why is he telling us? Okay, Mazel Tov, Ibsen is Boyaz, so what do I learn for this? Oh, telling us, Idach to Rabbi Bar Avuna, another member of the same Rabbi Bar Avuna, Yom Rabbi Bar Avuna, Omer Rav, may the Esser Mishto Yisfos of Boyaz Labanat. Boyaz made 120 parties, 120 Seudois, because of his children. How many children did he have? He had 60 children, and he made two parties for each one. We'll see in a moment why. Shnemar, it says in the Pasuk, but he loy. This, now we're talking about again, Boyaz, actually, Ifson, right? Also, it's Boyaz, Ifson. Anyway, loy shloishim bonois, shloishim bonim, u shloishim bonois. 30 plus 30. The shloishim bonois, sholach achutza. He sent them away, meaning, when they got married, they all went to their husbands' homes. So he had 30 banim, 30 daughters who got married. Ushloishim banois hevi lebanav min hachutz. And then he brought in 30 daughters-in-law for his sons so that they should get married. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, he married off all of the 60 kids. And it says about Hifzan v'yishpat Yisrael shebashanim that he was a shofet for 7 years. B'chol achas v'achas, for each one of his children, the 60 kids, also shnei mishtois, he did two parties. Echad b'beis, olav v'echad b'beis chomav. What does that mean? Says Rishbam, as you know, years ago, people made separate Eidrisim and separate Nisuin. Not like we do today, where Eidrisim and Nisuin are contemporaneous, one after the other, underneath the chuppah. So therefore, b'beis ovid, the son or the daughter remained in their father's home. They didn't merge yet because it's only Eidrisim. So that was the first party. And then subsequently, when they had the Nisuin, then he made the Suda for the Chasana, that a year later. Rabbi Shabbam says, Lav Davka, when it says one Suda, what he really means to say is a series of Sudas, because it included also the Sheva Brachas over a whole week. So therefore, we had two Sudas, one at the time of the Eidrisim, one time of the Nisuin. And for all of these 120 Sudas, he didn't go and invite even once Manoach. Manoach was the father of
Shimshon.
However, at that point, Manoach had no children. And therefore, he didn't invite Manoach. Omar, he said, Kudna Akar. The Loshana Gemara is a little bit sharp. Kudna means a perda. A perda is a mule, and mules don't reproduce. So he said about Manoach, Kudna Akar, Nebuch, this barren person, Manoach, that doesn't have any children, the Mai Parali, how is he going to repay me? What does that mean? So the Marsha explains that we have in other Gemaras that there was a minhag, and if you will, almost a choiva of Shushbinin, which means that if I am invited to your chasana, I have to invite you to my chasana, and I have to go and give presents, because I'm going to the chasana, I can't just come empty-handed, I have to go and give presents. And so therefore said, Ivtson, I feel bad. He, Manoach, is going to have to give at least 60, if not 120 presents, and I'll never be able to reciprocate and give him presents because he has no children. So it's unfair financially and morally and ethically to go and put this financial burden on him. Every time he comes, he has to go and bring presents, and I'm never going to have to, I never will reciprocate. And so therefore, that's why he didn't invite Manoach.
That's a very nice way of saying it, but the Lashon is Bemet Parali. How is he going to pay me?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's you're presenting, you're spinning it in a nice way, but the Lashon is Parali, paying me. How is he going to?
Yeah, Yaakov has Terence Barron's Kasha. He asked this, your Kasha.
Yeah.
Ad Omar, the Brach is Tafch Samchalav. Menoyach, I'm Oretz Hayah. Shaber Ovid. Like, what's the lead team? Pito, if I'm Oretz? You know, like Omar, the man Parali, because he's Amoretz. And it's Azir Tamachakim to give Amoretz any presents.
Okay.
How is he going to repay me? And how is he going to pay me in the first place? In other words, presumably, if I give him 120 presents, he gives me 120 presents, it's a wash. However, if I'm not going to give him anything, he's going to only give me, constantly give me, my parley, will he have enough financial resources to go and pay me all of these times without any reciprocity? Anyway, now the Gemara tells us, Tana, the Kula makes a b'chayv, all 60 passed away during his lifetime. In the times of Ivtsan and Boyas, that's why people have the expression, "B'chayich tiyaldis shitin shitin lamalach, ichvul va'oilid chad t'mishitin zoriz." What does all of that mean? So Rishbam tells us we have another Gemara that says that even if a person already had children, he was mekayim the mitzvah peri verivya, now in his older years, his chas v'shalom, his wife passes away, he should remarry, and b'boike zara es zarecha, v'la erev al tanach yodecha. It's a pasuk in Koheles, it's right in the last of the narrow lines of Rishbam, first of the wide lines of the Rishbam, where the Gemara says, Masechtas Yevamos, that even if a person was married when he was young, he should remarry in his older age, even if chas v'shalom, his wife passes away, because you never know what the payers of your first children will bring. Maybe they won't have, maybe they will have, and rather have more. So Mir Tashem, you'll perhaps have more nachas from the later generations. So in fact, that's what the Gemara is saying. Hani Damri Inchi, this is the expression that people say, b'chayech, during your lifetime, the yaldas shitin, even if you already gave birth to 60 kids, like Ivtun had 60 children, Shitin Lomulach, who knows what they are going to produce, what nachas you're going to get from them. Ichbel, go and repeat, and marry a second time, and have one child. The Mishitin Zor is that maybe even more, better and more nachas than the 60 that you had originally. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that expression stems from this story. Because Ibsen had 60 kids, he figured 60 kids, right now, Baruch Hashem, he was Mekayim Piriviravia already 30 times, right? The boy and a girl. So why should he have to remarry? No, he did remarry. All the 60 never passed away, and the only one that was left was Oivad, who was the son of Boaz, together with Ruth. And then, of course, after that, we had Yishai, and then David HaMelech, and then the whole Malchus based David, etc., etc., all based on that this expression of you had 60 kids, don't rely on that, marry again.
So Boaz almost like is right to say for Eo.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Melech. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava. Okay, so you have in the parentheses, Simon, Melech Avraham, Eser Shonim, Shenifter, Nisnasi Levatai. We're going to see now five memories, all from Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, Eli Melech, Vesalmoin, Uploini Almoini, Ve'avi Naomi, Kulan, Bnei Nachshon, Ben Aminod of Hay. Elimelech, that we have at the beginning of Megillas Rus, and Salmoin, who was Salmoin? Says Rishbam, this was the father of
Boaz.
So he also was he was Elimelech's brother. And Pliny Almoini, we normally think of Pliny Almoini as being, Yankovero, Shmero, whatever, somebody that came. So says Rishbam, from our Gemara, it's Mashma, that was Taki his name. Pliny Almoini, his name was Mr. or Rabbi Pliny Almoini. And Vavi Naomi, and the father of Naomi, was also Bnei Nachshon Ben Aminadav, so therefore Naomi married her uncle, because Elimelech was the husband of Naomi, and Elimelech's brother was the father of Naomi, so the uncle married the niece, which as we know is totally permissible. In fact, the Gemara suggests that this will be a very, very good chasana, because usually the girl takes after Achio Aim, Agansamais. Anyway, bottom line is, that was the those were the sons of Nachshon Ben Aminadab. Why is he telling me all of this? Oh, it's fascinating in terms of the Bible, to understand what do I learn from this. Gotta stay in Eretz Yisrael, don't go out, like the Gemara said before, and the Melech Machlan Chilion were all punished because they left Eretz Yisrael because of the famine. Stay in Eretz Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to save you. And so even though they were the children of Nachshon Ben Aminadab, we all know Nachshon Ben Aminadab was the great tzaddik in the times of the Yamsuf, when nobody else wanted to jump into the water, and Nachshon Ben Aminadab said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Daba Bnei Yisrael V'Yisrael Lom Again, and he started walking into the water, and the water got all the way up to his nose, to his nostrils, and only at that point did it split. So he went in with total emunah and bitochen in Hashem. So you would think that the schus always would help for the children. You leave Eretz Yisrael, the schus always ends for that purpose. So
Boaz was Naomi's nephew?
Cousin.
Was a cousin, right. Because Salmon was the father and of Boaz, and Salmon was the father of the father, was the brother of the father of Naomi, so they were first cousins.
The fathers.
The Omer of Omer Rav. Since we have Rav Chanan bar Rava, another memra, which is really unrelated, Imei de Avrom Amasloi Bas Karnavoy, Bas Karnavoy. Her name was Amasloi Bas Karnavoy. Very interesting, unique name. That was the mother of Avram Avinu. Imei de Haman, the mother of Haman, on the other hand, was the same name, Amasloi, but it was Bas Urvisi. Now, after the shir is over, somebody might ask you, who is the mother of Avram and who is the mother of Haman? Was it Bas Karnavoy or Bas Urvisi? The Simonach, a simon to remember, is Tamei Tohar Tohar. The word Oirev, we know that Oirev is a non-kosher bird, so therefore Haman's mother, Amasloi, was Bas Urvisi, a non-kosher, a Tamei. Masha'en Kein Karnavoy, says Rishbam, that is similar to the word Karim, like Karim Hatzoyim, which is referring to kosher flocks of sheep. That's kosher, so therefore Tamei Tohar Tohar. He made a David, the mother of David HaMelech, was Nitzvis, or Nitzvis, Bas Ado El Shema. Well, he made the Shimshai, Tzalalfoinis. That was her name, Tzalalfoinis. The Achsei and Shimshin's sister was Nashia. Why are you telling me the names of all of these women, the mothers of these various individuals? Every mother chuvas ha-minim. Who are the minim? The minim that ask all of these questions. If you look at the Rishbam, about four lines from the bottom. The chuvas ha-minim she-she'alen lanu yoyser be'elu minoshim achers. They always ask us, what's the name of Avraham Avinu's mother? What's the name of this one? Now, kidaparishis. Taima, like I explained, vanu meshiv lehen. Even if you don't find it in the Torah, in the Tanakh, but we have it balfeh from the Nevi'im, meaning from previous generations. And if you go one Rishbam earlier, the Rishbam that starts Imei de Shimshoin, which is six lines on the bottom, Imei de Shimshoin, Mishum de Ayriba Kra Tuva, we're talking about the various Psukim, Oksiv Nami de Oval Imei Loi Higid, Hutzrech Lefarish Yekol Advarma Elishi Alam Haminim. The Minim ask, Matam Enu An Yoidin Shmois. How come you don't know the names of Avram's mother? You know the names, of course, of Yitzchak and Yaakov's mother, that says Befeish in the Torah. Why don't you know Avram's mother? Oh, we have it. Yes, it's in the Gemara. We know their names, etc., etc. So we do the Tshuvas Hamina. B'yom Rav Chanan Bar Rava Omara. Esr Shonim Nechbash Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was in jail for 10 years. Who put him in jail? A Nimrod. Why did Nimrod put him in jail? Because of Terach. Terach snitched on his own son, and he said that he broke all the idols in his shop. And Nimrod heard that. He put him in jail for 10 years. Where are the 10 years? Sholish Bakuta, 3 years in Kuta, Vesheva Bekardo, and 7 years in Kardo. However, of Dimenedo, Masti Ibcha, the other way around, 7 years in Kuta, and 3 years in Kardo. Om Rav Chizda, Ibra Zeira to Kuta. If you go to the region called Kuta, you'll find there's a city there called Ibra Zeira. That Ibra Zeira is Ur-Kasim. That's like Ur-Kasim that you have in the Torah in Bereishis, where Avram Avinu lived. We say, Hayoim Shinifta Avram Avinu Min Ha'olam, Omdu. Okay, so that's right, the next member. So why did the Gemara tell us about this, that Ibra Zeira is the same as Ur-Kasim? So the bottom Rishbam says that just in case you happen to be passing by Zeira, Ibra Zeira in Kuta, you should know that's Ur-Kasim, and you should go make a bracha. That Avram Avinu was saved from Nimrod and Terach, from the fire that they wanted to go and burn. The Yom Rav Chanan Bar Rava Omara, Oisei Yom Shenifta Avram Avinu Min Ha'olam, the day that Avram Avinu passed away, Omdu Kol Gedoyli Umas Ha'olam, all the Gedoyim among the Goyim, they stood Beshura, they stood online. The Omru, Oy Loyli Oilam She'obed Manhigoy Nebuch, the whole world has lost its manig, its leader, Va'ilo Lesvina She'obed Karbonita, and Nebuch, the ship that has lost its captain. Avram Avinu was considered to be the Gadol Hador by everyone because of the chesed that he did. Right, so we have a pasuk. Bamisnasa l'chol l'rosh. Excuse me. We say that in davening in the morning. V'chol Hashem agdula v'agvura v'atzveret v'anetz v'ahoy k'chol v'ashmai v'arz v'chol Hashem ha'mamlocha v'amisnasa l'chol l'rosh. Now what is v'amisnasa l'chol l'rosh? Amrav Chanan Bar Rava, Amrav, the same man, the Amrav, Afilu Reish Kargusa Mishmaya Mukmile. Any type of position that a person gets on this world, even if it happens to be a menial position, it's all decided up above in the heavens. Now, what exactly is a Reish Kargusa? So if you see the Rashbam on the right-hand side, there's no choices here, on the right-hand side, top line, Reish Kargusa Sar Hamamuna Al Haboyrois. There was a special minister that was in charge of the usage of water on a daily basis from the boirois, from the cisterns. Mi yidla mimenu hayoim lahashkei sadoisev umila mochar. Who's going to use the cisterns on Sunday, and who's going to use it on Monday, and who's going to use it on Tuesday? In other words, there was a shortage of water, at least there was an amount of water that could not be splurged and wasted, and therefore, if you had one bar, and around it there were five different fields, if everybody's going to draw water the same day, there won't be any water left. So therefore, there was a person who administered it.
Ration.
He would ration it if necessary, but he would administer it and say, Yankel, you're Sunday, and Beryl, you're Monday, and Shmerel, you're on Tuesday, and Reuven is on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. Now, this is obviously not a major, major ministry, just being in charge of the splitting up of the waters, but even that type of position, it's Minashemayim. That's why it says in the Pasuk of Misnase, L'chol L'Rosh, for any type of job, anything to make him a Rosh.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. My supper runneth over.
Can you manage?
I hope this cup doesn't.
Yeah, but if your cup runneth over, make sure it runs into the bar, because there was a shortage of water. Right. The minister needs person that was administering it needs as much water as possible.
They wouldn't be doing well.
Not at all. Okay, anyway, but if there's a well, there's a way. So we continue on. What do I do here? Oh, so we finish now with the five members of Rav Chanan bar Rava. And now we start a new shtickle. This Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Bishu is going back on the fact that we said that Elimelech and Machlin the Chilion were all Nenshu because they left Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Bishu said, Ben Korcha said, Chas Vishom, Shafilim Motzah Subin Layotzu. They would not have left Eretz Yisrael even if the only thing available were Subin. Subin today they say is bran, and today bran of course is considered to be a very healthy, nutritious
valuable
item.
Valuable
item, but years ago that wasn't the case. Subin was relegated for cattle fodder.
Right.
Just like you go to a fancy chasana today, you used to be able to go and get a nice piece of fricassee, you'd be able to get a piece of fish, you'd be able to get some liver. Instead they go and give you a whole bunch of grass and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. My shvei is called behema machel. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, why did the three pass away? Because they should have made tefillah assemblies and get everybody together to go and pour their hearts out, and they didn't do it. It says in the pasuk, what does that mean? That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'zakech, you're supposed to go and cry out to Hashem. If you take kibbutzayich, if you are take the yidin together, you assemble and you gather them, yatziluch, then there will be a special hatzola from Hashem. So therefore, they were not mekayim this pasuk, and that's why nenshu. In a time of tzara, you don't just sit on your hands or just flee, but rather you call the masses together, let's be mispal to Hashem. Om Rabbi B'chan, Om Rabbi Yoichan, Leishon Olam Mo'ois B'zoil U'peiris B'yoiker, Av Mo'ois B'yoiker, Fela Omdu Ar B'son B'sela Yoitzin. So Rabbi B'chan, Rabbi Yoichan says, there is a heter to leave Eretz Yisrael after all, but it depends on the financial circumstances. Leishon Olam Mo'ois B'zoil U'peiris B'yoiker. If people have, Baruch Hashem, enough money to live on. However, unfortunately, the food items, the food staples have gone sky high, and they're very, very expensive. So I have money, but it's hard to pay for these payers because they've gone up dramatically in price. Then we're saying, stay in Eretz Yisrael, and try to do the best you can to make ends meet, and be mispal, etc. What happens? People don't have money. People just don't have jobs, there's no money, there's a recession, there's a depression. Even if the price of the basic commodities, such as the soachitim, has gone down to the normal price, like we had back on Daf Tes, for soin, for a sela, and you're saying, well, yeah, the prices are normal, you know, we should stick around. But if you have no money, you have no money, yoitzin, then you can leave the country to go and get a job somewhere to get to be able to get money together to be able to live. Okay, Zokti Mariet Simon Sela Poyel Charuva Talia Amrin. We're going to quote now Rabbi Yochanan, four or five members that all start off the same way. That Rabbi Yochanan is nostalgic and he says, I remember the good old days. Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Nehirna, I remember, could have a Kaimen Arbesoin Besela. When I was a youngster, you were able to get the price of Chitim, Asoirim, whatever, basic staples were very cheap for some for Sela. But unfortunately, in Tveria, you had people, Nefishi, there were lots of people, Nefishi Kapon, that had swollen bellies, like you see sometimes, you used to show pictures from Africa.
Biafra.
People that had nothing to eat, and they never swollen bellies.
Malnutrition.
Bitveria in Tveria, Midlace Isser, because people had no money. So yes, you could buy those items very, very cheap. If you have no money, you can't buy anything. Rishbam has two pshat, and the second pshat is a little bit easier. He was saying, we're not hired, lemidnach karta, the word midnach is like lemizrach karta, on the east side of the city. Apparently the east side of the city is where the jobs were, and Piyalim unfortunately couldn't get jobs, and then they would pass away Mireach Pita when they would go by a bakery and they would smell the baking bread and it smelled so great. Mice and then they would pass away from the fragrance, from the smell, that they couldn't get it because unfortunately they were penniless.
So I remember those times, they were not such good times. The Omer of Yoichanan, I remember on the better side of things, Nehina. I remember when I was young, I'd have a botza, yinuka charuva, if a child would break open boxer. If you've ever broken boxer nowadays, you know that it's hard as a rock, and a guarantee that you'll go to the dentist in a few days because you break your teeth on it. But I remember in the good old days, the charuvin, these boxer were so moist and so geschmack and so fresh, as you would go and open up, you'd break open a charuv, have a nogid chuta de duvsha, a chuta, whole strand, a whole thread of dvash, of honey would flow al train daroi on his two arms. As he's breaking it, all the moisture would come out and splurt out on both arms. V'yomer blozer, nihirna kad have a notal orva bisra. I remember a similar story that the flesh, the meat, was so geschmack and so moist. I remember when an oirev, a raven would come, and he would grab bisra, a piece of meat. As he grabbed it, you would see a trail of a nugget chuta, a whole trail, a whole thread or strand of mishcha, of schmaltz, of oil. Oil doesn't really come from basra, but he means it was real, real fatty. And I saw that fat, mereshura, from the top of the building, from the top of the wall, the Adli Ara, all the way down to the ground. That shows that the animals were well, had good nutrition. They had delicious grass and hay and stuff that they would eat, and that gave them, that made sure that they would be gesund, and then the meat was real fatty and geschmack and all the rest. I know today fatty meat is considered to be not healthy, but it certainly tastes better than the lean meat, that's for sure. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, I remember Nehirna Karhaven Metailin Tali Betaliyasa B'shuka. The word Metailin normally you think means a tiyul, that they were walking. However, Rishbam says that they were Mesachikin, they were playing. Mm-hmm. I remember the good old days when you had a young man and a young lady playing Bishuk, Kvar Shis Esrei, Kvar Shev Esrei, a 16-year-old with a 17-year-old, and they didn't come Lidei to any type of sin. Even though they were playing together, a girl and a boy, it wasn't an issue then. Unfortunately, morality has not remained the same, says Rabbi Yochanan, and things have
and
gone down.
Sometimes there's an issue.
It's an issue. Oh boy, there's an issue. Especially dealing with an ish, with an issue. So ish be issue. Sometimes shchinish shri b'neim, but sometimes not. So that's the issue that you got to worry about. The ish be issue. The Amr of Yochanan, Nehirna Karhava Amrin Bei Midrash. I remember we used to say in Besmedish, the Moidi Lohoin Nofel Bideihoin, the Misrachetz Aleihoin, Delay Dilhoin. This is referring to a person that he should stay away from Oivdei Avodah Zarah, because you think you're developing a nice relationship with them and smiling and good and fine, it can lead to big, big problems in the future. So the Moidil Hain, if you have one of the Oivdei Avodah Zarah that he's telling you something, if you're going to go and be might and say, yeah, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, I agree with you. You know, obviously you want to be nice, you want to be friendly, and so therefore instead of trying to uproot him from his Narishkeit, from the Avodah Zarah, sure, I understand, Nofel Bidein, Chas V'Sholom, eventually he may fall into their hands, meaning he may himself eventually convert, after saying so many times that Yoshka was a nice guy, and then Chas V'Sholom, he's going to start worshiping him as well. The Misrachet Zaleihain, that means someone who has trust in them, to the point where he tells them a little bit about his business, and about his assets, Delay Dilhain. What used to be yours is now going to become theirs. In other words, you're going to tell them about your assets, tell them about the business. The next day, fine, you'll see that the assets have been stolen. They're no longer there. So, stay away. Okay, now we go back to Elimelech and Machlev Chilion. Ksiv, in the Pasuk in Rus, it refers to them as Machlev Chilion. Ksiv, however, in Divrei Yomim, it refers to the same two individuals as Yoyosh Visorov. So the question is, what happened? So Rabbi Shmuel Chad Omer Machlev Chilion Shmon, Veloma Nikron Shmon, Yoyosh Shnis Yashu Min HaGeula Sorev Shnis Chayvu Sreif HaLamokin. So both Rav and Shmuel agree with dealing with the same individuals, but they had multiple names. Machlan V'Chilion are otherwise known as Yoyosh V'Sarev. The question is, what was the real name and what was the pseudonym, the name that they were given? So the Gemara says the real names are Machlan V'Chilion, like we lay in Rus on Shavuos. However, how did they get the name Yoyosh and Sarev? Yoyosh Shnis Yashu Min HaGeula. They were miyayish that Hashem is going to bring a geula to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they left Eretz Yisrael, because they were miyayish and said it's not going to happen. They left Eretz Yisrael like we had before, that's the reason why that they were punished, because they lived Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Shneischai v'Sreif for the Mokim, that unfortunately, as a result of their lack of fundamental emun and bitachin, therefore they were Neschai v'Sreif for the Mokim to be killed, Rachman al-Tzlan, because of their failures. So that was
they
the
Yerushalayim. They got Sreifa, they died.
It didn't say that they got Sreifa, just Neschai v'Sreif for the Mokim.
You're fasting so much, your body's burning up.
Oh, very good. Or if a person has a lot of fever, then their body's burning up. The real name was Yoish Vesarif. Machlin she'osu gufan chulin. They made their bodies chulin choil by going to Chutz La'aretz, where Chutz La'aretz is an Eretz Tameya. Wherever you go in Chutz La'aretz, you have to, assuming that you're standing on Kvarim and on Nebuch, people that passed away there. No, they didn't make Bati Kvaris and Tziyunim and all the rest. Anyway, so therefore they made themselves choil. They deserve to be destroyed because of their lack of emunah bitachon. They left Eretz Yisrael. Tani kaman diyam machlan v'chilin shmon. I have a braisa directly on point. That's like the first man diyam that machlan v'chilin shmon. The sign it. Might as well say in the pasuk. The yoikim, the anshe kuziva, the yoyosh, the sorof, the tiyosh and sorof together. Ashaboalu lemoyav, the yishbi lochem, v'advorim atikim. That's the whole pasuk. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and that pasuk is describing some of the Bnei Yehuda, and it's saying about them, the yoikim ze Yehoshua. The word v'yoikim at the beginning of the pasuk is referring to Yehoshua, shehikim shmuel la'anchi givoy. Rishbam already points out that Yehoshua was from Ephraim, and not from Yehuda. Mm-hmm. This pasuk is listing Bnei Yehuda. So it says, Rishbam, apparently from his mother's side, he was from the Bnei Yehuda. Anyway, so what's Yoikim? He was making Shmuel the Anshe Givayim. We all know the story about the Anshe Givayim. The Givayim came to Yeshua, even earlier than that, to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyway, they said, we live in a far off land, and they came with tattered clothing and tattered shoes, as if they had been traveling now 1,000 miles. I'm sorry?
They were phonies.
They were phonies. And they said, we'd like to go and make a bris with you. We see, Klai Yisrael, you're so matzliach, we love you, and we have so much respect for you. Anyway, so Yeshua and his kingdom said, fine, let's make a bris. And only shortly thereafter, they realized that there were a bunch of phonies, that they were locals in Eretz Yisrael, and they did not want to be killed. So that's why they made this phony bris. They could have said that this was made under deception, and therefore our bris with you is worthless. However, they didn't want it to be a Chil Hashem, people say, the Jews, and make a bris. Therefore,
they already condemned in the UN.
All right. Or in the
or
the secular media or whatever.
Social media, right.
So what did they do? They said, okay, we're going to keep the bris intact, but they made them for menial workers, for Choyfi Eitzim and the Shaavi Moyim. And the Gemara calls them Nesinim, the Noslim, the Gim, for these chores. Okay, so anyway, that's how Yeshua got the name Yoikim, because he was making, he kept the bris. And Anshe Kuziva, that's the continuation of the pasuk. Not that Anshe Kuziva are also the children of Yehuda, but rather these are the Anshe Givoyim that we just spoke about, Shekozu B'Yeshua. Therefore, you have to read it together. The Yoikim v'Anshe Kuziva, it's all referring to Yeshua that was making the bris with the Anshe Kuziva. Kuziva means those that said falsehood, Kozov. Who the ones that said falsehood? That's Anshe Givoyim that we just spoke about.
And this is the overlap with the Tasha.
I'm sorry, what's
the end? It's overlap with the Parsha.
It overlaps with the Parsha.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is in the Parsha.
Oh, good. Very good. Shkoyach. The Yoyish Vesarov, who are they? Elam Achlam Vechiyon. Like we just said. Velomenik Rishman, Yoyish Vesarov, Yoyish is Yashim and the Gula, Sef Shishav, Shrei for the Mokin. So before we continue on, that's what the Gemara said, Tanya Nam Mihochi, Tanya Kamandi Oma, Machlin Vechiyon Shman. Oh, that's this price that says, like, either Rav Shmuel, right? The Gemara didn't identify them. Chad Omar, Chad Omar. So he's saying the chad that said machlan v'chilin shmon v'lomnik shmon yoyosh and sorav because it's yashu and it's chayvu. So that's this brisa. But continuing on the pasuk, it says in the pasuk vayta lemokum asher boalu lemoyav. That's the continuation of the same pasuk. So what does that mean? I'm sorry, lemokum. She's chayvu sri for lemokum. Period. Then the pasuk continues asher boalu lemoyav. What does that mean? She nosu noshim ayaviyos, that they went and married the noshim ayaviyos, and those are the Rus and the Arpa. Because since we spoke about Yoyish and Tzarev and Machlan and Chilion, we're now describing them, that they married the Noshim Yavios, Rus and Arpa. The Yishbi Lochem, this is Rus and Moyavia, Sheshova v'nidbeka the Beis Lechem Yehuda. It says that she returned to Beis Lechem Yehuda, together with Naomi, and so there Yishbi means her return. She showed but she returned to Lochem, Lechem Beis Yehuda, Beis Lechem Yehuda, Ba'advorim Atikim. That Boaz eventually, that this whole story, where ultimately, because Machlon V'Chayim passed away, and then Rus was taken in Yibum by Boaz, Tvorim Atikim, Dvorim Alolo, Atik Yom in Omran. Atik Yom Yomai is referring to Rabbi Yishalayim. He already predicted this and already talked about it years ago. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Matzasi David Avdi. So by David HaMelech, he used the term Matzasi. Uksiv, and it says by the Benoist Light, Shnei Benoist Secha Hanim Tzoois. Right, the Malachim said, Shnei, let's get out of here. Shnei Benoist Secha Matzois, because Bavoina Ir, and then they, or by Yismamo, the whole Geschäft. But why did it say Hanim Tzoois? And Tzoois is the same word as Matzasi, that David HaMelech came out of the Benoist Light, who eventually lived with their father, Moiv and Amoin, they had the children, Moiv and Amoin, and of course Rosh Mevia came from Moiv. So all of this was predicted in the Torah many, many years before. So that's the Masa Mithi, Machla Mechilion, etc. Now since we started Psukim in Divrei HaYomim, talking about the Bnei Yehuda from the Shevet of Yehuda, so in fact, the next Pasuk is yet a further Pasuk, and beyond this is the in Divrei HaYomim, it's a Pasuk right after that, the Pasuk that we quote until now was number 4 here in the Torah Or HaSholem, V'yoykim V'anchik Koyziva. You'll notice at the end of the Pasuk he brings Divrei HaYomim Aleph Dalet Chav Beis. Now if you skip to number 7, Heim HaYoytzim, that's Aleph Dalet Chav Gimel. So we're now just explaining the next Pasuk. So what does it say in the next Pasuk? So Kimara, Heim HaYoytzim, Yoytzim means those that manufacture pots, potters, V'yoyshvei Netoyim Ugdeira. So Pashup Shat means the people that lived in the Toim Ugdeira, Im HaMelech B'Melachtoi, together with the king in his work, I guess in his kingdom, in his palace, Yosh Rishon, they lived there. But the Gemara is going to interpret this a little bit more differently. Al Pidrush, Hey Ma Yoitzim, Eilu B'nei Yonodav Ben Rechov, Shenotru Shvuas Aviem. What does that mean? Yonodav Ben Rechov was an Einikul of Yisrael, and he was a great Balmamin. When he heard from Yirmiyah and the other Nevi'im that there's going to be a Chorban Beis HaMikdash, he told his children, you should now refrain from any luxuries. For instance, stop drinking wine. Don't build houses. You should know this is an Eis Tzora Hiliyakov. The Chorban had not even occurred yet, but he had already given that befail, that mission, that command to his children that they should be careful. And in fact, they were careful. The Bnei Yonadav Ben Rechov, they followed their father's orders to the T. They didn't build new houses, they didn't go and drink wine, they refrained from other luxury items, etc. So the Pasuk is extolling the virtues of these Bnei Yonadav Ben Rechov. And then it says, Yoishvei Netoim, who is this referring to? Zeh Shloima, Shaduim L'Netia B'Malchusai, that his Malchus was like a Netia, like something that grows in the ground and blossoms and grows bigger and bigger and brighter and brighter. The fourth line of Rishbam, the left-hand side, the Netia means Holech v'Godoy Kirachsiv al Kisei Hashem laMelech. So when the Shlomo Melech became Melech, initially his Malchus, if you will, was small, either in quantity or in quality. But as he became more and more years into his Malchus, it kept on blossoming and sprouting more and more. Ugdeira, what does that mean? Gdeira, that means Usanhedrin. Shegodru Pirtzisein Shul Yisrael. They made a whole bunch of siyogim and takonois to keep the Klal Yisrael within the Kiyum HaTorah, that Chas V'Shalom they shouldn't be over Averis. And then they would live together Im HaMelech V'Malachtoi, Yashvu Sham, Zurus HaMeyavia, Shero Asa B'Malch HaShleimah. This is referring to that Shleimah HaMelech lived contemporaneously with Rus, even though Rus was 4 generations before, she was still alive at that time. Wow. Why? It says Yimar Shero Asa B'Malch HaShleimah Ben Benoi Shel Ben Beno. She saw it like a double, a grandson of a grandson. Now, how is a grandson of a grandson? So let's think about this. Rusa Mevia and Boaz had a son by the name of Oivad. Mm-hmm. Oivad had a son by the name of Yishai. Right. So Yishai, therefore, is the first grandson of Rus, right? Mm-hmm. Because he had Oivad and Yishai. Yishai, in turn, had a son called David HaMelech, David ben Yishai. David had a son, Shlomo HaMelech. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, therefore, is the Einikol of Yishai, and Yishai is the Einikol of Rus. So that's what we mean, Ben Beno Yishol Ben Beno.
Did she live 606 years?
Why 606?
Because of the Gematria.
Ah, okay. The Gematria of Rus. That he went and put a kise there for the mother of the kingdom. If you look up the pasuk, Pashat Pshat is talking about Bathsheba. She was the mother of Shlomo Melech. However, says the Marsha, it cannot be referring to that. Cannot, but the Gemara bases its drasha on the fact that it says V'yosem kise le'im ha-melech. If you go back, the pasuk is number 8 over here. V'tovi Bathsheba el ha-melech Shlomo le'daber loy al Adonio V'yokim ha-melech le'krosa. He stood up. So means for Bathsheba. However, says Masha, for that he could have said Yosem Kisei La, because we're only talking about one lady here in the passing, and that's his mother. Why do we have to refer to Eim HaMelech? We know Bathsheba was Eim HaMelech, so therefore it's telling you Eim HaMelech. It goes back that besides Bathsheba, there was another Kisei for Rus. The Amr Blazer, the Blazer said Eim Shel Malchus, the ultimate matriarch of the whole Mishmach. We have in the Pasuk Chaltim and Atvua Yoshan. We spoke about, unfortunately, times when there was no Tvua, there was no food. So now we're talking about, we're going in the Brachas and the Klolos that you have there in Chukosai. Chaltim and Atvua Yoshan, you're going to eat from the Tvua Yoshan. Now what does this mean? It's talking about if you're going to have, well, this Pasuk is not talking about the Brachas and Klolos, this Pasuk is talking about Shemitah. Then in Shemitah year, as you know, you're not allowed to plant, and you're not allowed to go and harvest for sale for the public. For your own family, you're allowed to go and harvest. But that means that there's going to be a shortage, because everybody's going to grab all the food, and then after a few days, there'll be nothing left. And of course, a lot of the food is going to decay, and this and that. So the Pasuk says that you don't have to worry. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that you're going to get from the sixth year, that's going to go and last you for 3 years. The sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year. Eighth year means until the time when you're harvesting in the eighth year, when then you'll finally have the produce of the eighth year. So what you produce in the sixth year, it'll be enough for the sixth year. Seventh year, you're not planting, so it'll be enough for the Shemitah year, and into the beginning of the eighth year. Okay, so it says in the Pasuk, V'chalta the Tvu Yashan, you're going to be able to eat from this Tvu Yashan, even though it's already old, it's into the third year, you have nothing to worry about. Now, it says the Braisa, Yoshin beloy salamtoin. Salamtoin is not going to cause the tvua to go bad. Right tomorrow, my beloy salamtoin. What's my salamtoin? Is Rav Nachman Amr beloy ritzinta. Ritzinta says Rishbam is the name of a worm that unfortunately eats away at produce and causes it all to spoil. And therefore, you're not going to have to worry. A special bracha, if you're going to keep Shemitah, your tvua is going to remain intact. And you're not going to have to worry about this worm that causes trouble. I remember, you know, nowadays a lot of establishments and a lot of people are makban on chodosh. Years ago, people were not makban on chodosh. And someone asked my Rosh Shiva Rav Pales Zatzal, how come people are not makban on chodosh? Chodosh means not to go and, you know, every single Pesach, they used to bring the carbon oimer on the first day of Cholamoid. We don't have the carbon oimer today. Hopefully by this Pesach we will have it. But until now we have not had it for close to 2,000 years. So starting after the first day of Cholamoid, you're already allowed to go and eat from the new Tvua that grew. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because that day itself is Mitzakeh.
Right.
Is Mat. Right. Good. No, it's a minish. The day is Mat. The Gemara brings
Mitzakeh.
Perfect. Now what happens now if, for instance, now you're going to start planting after Pesach again? You're not supposed to eat from any of that new tzvua until the next year, until after Pesach. Mm-hmm. And therefore you have to be careful, whatever you buy should be yoshan, old schoira that preceded the previous Pesach, that you know became mutter as a result of the bringing of the carbon aymar because of the day of Chol HaMoed. However, so mitzat ikar hadin, one should be very, very careful that anything that you buy, try to figure out when was this tzvua, when was it grown, so you don't have the problem of chodosh and yoshan. So nowadays, a lot of the kosher products say on it that it's yoshan, kemach yoshan, you don't have to worry about it. You didn't have to worry, people years ago were not so makbid. So, people asked Rav Pahler, why were people not makbid already in the Haim? He said the reason is because someone who was makbid on chodosh and yoshan was mekel in toiloyim, meaning the people that kept flour around for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the old flour. You opened it up and you found that there were little bugs in it. Mealworms, exactly. So that's the reason why that's a major concern. Now, so why are people not concerned today? Because of refrigeration, because of freezing and all that. So they were able to avoid that. Years ago, they didn't have refrigeration, and therefore things went bad quickly. So our Gemara is telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a special bracha in the sixth year, that the tefillah will remain below some tantoin, with below ritzinta. Ritzinta is that worm that causes props. Rav Sheshes Amar below shadifa. Shadifa means regular decay. This is that you leave over things for a long time, eventually it decays, spoils, and it rots. Mm-hmm. Spoils. Exactly. Tani Gavasir of Sheshes, Tani Gavasir of Nachman. So we have rise to both of these views of Nachman, which is the worm, and of Sheshes that's talking about regular, normal spoilage. It's Tani Gavasir of Nachman. Chaltim Yashin, it says the word Chaltim Yashin. Yochel Yisrael Mitzapin Lechodesh Matnei Yashin Shekola. I might think that now it's the eighth year, Baruch Hashem, we've planted, and everybody looks forward, oh, we're going to get the new Tvor, because the old Tvor has your kola. Now, kola doesn't mean that it's spoiled, it means kola, it was destroyed. How did it get destroyed? It was consumed by this ritzinta, by this worm. How do I know that they were not mitzap in the chodesh? Tamaloyim, it says in the Pasuk, at boi Tvor asah, at shetovay Tvor me'eleh. That means they didn't rush to go and take some of the unripened Tvor and Chanel roasted and toasted to be able to go and make it into flour and start it. And they waited. When the Tvor comes, may allow in its right time, because Baruch Hashem, the Yoshin lasted a long, long time and it was not destroyed by the worms. It's a right term. I would think because the Yoshin now has spoiled, it's rotted, and that's the reason why everybody longs and craves for the Chodesh. No, Tamalei my boy Tuasa, Achetovei Tvua Meila. So it's the same drasha, but you see the first price says the Yoshin is Kola, which means it was destroyed by the worms. Second one says Yoshin Shira, that's like Rav Sheshes, that it's the Shadifa, it's just natural spoilage and decay.
Well, we had the Gemara that when they matted the Omer, the markets were already full of the new grain ready to be sold, so people were waiting for it. It wasn't, and you can't make a leap year and a Shemitah year.
Is correct.
A Shemitah year because you extend the period of difficulty. So although it's a bracha, but in practicality, people were eager to get the new grain, and it was cheaper because it was abundant.
And therefore, maybe these prices are telling us, but when Shemitah was noy, when there was Shemitah, right, in the eighth year, people did not eagerly go and quickly sell and buy the market, new,
right, stock the new grain.
They had the old grain was so perfect and so great. And when you're talking about grain, for people that are in the business, and even people that are not, they know that dried out grain is much better than moist grain, because moist grain you cannot properly grind and crush and process. Mm-hmm. So when it gets older, it only gets better like old wine. So that if, of course, there's nothing left, or in bad times, when the old tour is no longer good, because of the salam time, then everybody was eager to get ready on that first day Cholamayim. However, in the times of Shemitah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a special bracha in year number 8. So people did not run, let's go and get the new tour. They were very happy with the old storage. Tanabat, Bachaltim Yoshin Noishin. Okay, so this is already in the brachas. Bachaltim Noshin Noishin, the Yoshin and the Chodesh Teitzil. So what does this pasuk tell you? Like we just said now, the Gabe Tvua, as it gets older, it gets better. So you're going to say only those things where the derech is to go and leave them long. So Rishbam says like chita v'yayin, right? Old wine is supposed to be better. Not when you go and buy it in the bottles, but if it's in the barrels, then the older the wine, the better it is. Dvarim she'ein derech liyashin minayin. How do we know even those things that it's not the derech liyashin, that it's also v'achaltem yashin noishin, a bracha from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's going to be good? Now, what are those things which are not derech liyashin? Said Rishbam, you're going minei peirois, shemar kivin. If you're talking about regular fruits that one of our gentlemen brought this morning for apples and plums and stuff, she'ein derech liyashin. Normally, you don't leave those around because then they quickly going to rot and decay. They're going to spoil. To me, how do you know even that? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send you a bracha, both in those things that normally are your miyashin, and even those things that you're normally not miyashin. It's going to be a real big bracha. And the pasuk continues, even now it's in the eighth year after the harvest, and the oitzris are still full of the old tvor from 2 years ago, from the sixth year. Mm-hmm. How can you take out the old and put in the new? There's not room for everything. Baruch Hashem, there's such an abundance
That's the Yechal to Yoshin Yoshin. The Yoshin Yechadish Tiktsi, you're going to be forced somehow or other to deal with this issue. It's a good issue to have. It's Obrabat. Amra Papa Kol Mili Atika Ma'alia. When it comes to food items, as they get older, they get better. Labar, except for Tamri, tomorrow, which are dates. Shechar is beer. Harsana is fish. These things, they get older. Be careful. We continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Rabbi Zayt, Mazel Tov, we finished the parable.